this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Tonight, just in preparing, we really thought that tonight God wants to restore relationship, okay? And it's not one with your ex or even with your parents tonight, which is a great thing. But tonight, God wants to restore a relationship with Him, okay? Our Heavenly Father. And I love worship times. Thanks so much, Bart and the guys for tonight. It was amazing. But I love worship times because I always get a sense of really what's going on in the congregation as we worship. And I mean, apart from the just that burden type of atmosphere that was here tonight, I really felt that there are some of us tonight, I think there's quite a lot of us here tonight, that even though we've been saved for 20, 30, or 10 years, or 2 hours, you know, it's so relevant, but in a sense, we are lacking something in our relationship with God. And it's this thing it's really difficult to put it in words, but it's almost as if you cannot look God into the eye, as there's, in a sense, this guilt, or shame, or burden we carry around, because, you know what, because of disobedience, because of missing God, or because of a lot of things. So tomorrow I want to speak a bit about this and just declare that tonight God wants to restore relationship. Okay? Amen? Hallelujah. So the title tonight is Closing the Gap. And that is just the gap between us and God. And tonight God wants to come and close it. He wants to bring us closer to Him, nearer to Him. I want us to start by reading together out of Hebrews 3, from verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Here we're reading about the Israelites. If you don't know the story, they came out of Egypt, spent 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness. But a whole generation that were in the wilderness never saw the promised land that God promised to them because of their disobedience in God. And then God said, as we read, that in His wrath He was provoked, that you guys, you will never enter my rest. You will not see the promised land. And I just get a sense that for some of us as sons and as daughters, as Christians of God, we do not have a rest. We do not have a peace. We do not have a confidence. And in a sense, because of that, we have hardened our hearts in certain aspects towards God, that perhaps God didn't show up the way we expected Him to, or He didn't do things according to our way or our timing or the way we believed Him to do that. And we've hardened our hearts toward Him, willingly or unwillingly, consciously, subconsciously. And tonight God wants to come and soften hearts, because the moment we soften our hearts towards Him, there's a reconciliation that happens. Because it's only in Him, in His warm embrace, that our hearts get softened. He makes us new. And I was challenged the last while just on a couple of things. And one of them being, you know what? For the last while, I went through a season where God really wasn't my first love. You know? To be honest with you guys, you know, something we say a lot, and it's been restored a lot. I've said it a lot in my life. It's been restored a lot in my life. But some way, somehow, it came to be in my life that God was not my first love. And it's definitely not something I woke up to say, you know what, God, I'm not going to have You as my first love anymore. It happened subtly, and it continued, and the chasm just grew and grew and grew between myself and God. And that just caused a ripple effect of a couple of things that happened. So tonight, I want to challenge you and ask you the question, is God your first love tonight? And what does that mean? What does it look like? Not that God is our first love and our wife is just 0.2% under him. It's just a different scale where, you know what, God is my everything. You know, we sing it a lot. God, you are my all, you are my everything. I give you my life, I give you my all, I give you my soul. So is God our first love tonight? And through that, it caused me to be, and this especially had a big ripple effect in my life, just with the Israelites never seeing the promised land. It caused me to be disobedient. Many things, okay? And one of the things that really, just every time I did it, it was in a sense, my heart, it was like my spirit got scarred. Like it's a weird pain, not a fun pain. And practically, it would be like me walking through the mall, and it happened a lot because we were preparing to get married and all of that. And so we were walking through the mall, and God would just show me a lot of people to pray for. Because God has established something in my heart that when someone comes with an ailment or disorder or healing needs to happen here, physically or emotionally, then my heart in a sense is broken for it. And then I would see the person and then that whole emotional thing happens. And then God would be like, yes, okay, great, pray for that guy. And I would just be, no. And I walk just right by the person. Then for the next hour, I'm like, yes, I'm a rubbish. Like, God, let this mall just collapse on my head right now. Not a good place to be. I don't know if you've ever been in that place. I was in the place for this last while, and it sucks, okay? And that led me to, in a sense, by doing that continuously, it led me to not trusting God. You know, how weird is that? But I stopped trusting God because I was like, God, where are you? I don't see you, I don't feel you, I don't experience you, Lord. It feels like I'm not hearing your voice anymore, God. But duh, because I'm a disobedient little brat. Myself, not you guys. So, but then it was just like I started doubting God's character, but I was the one just turning my back on him. We all know this excuse. Too busy to make things better, to reconcile, right? Like, you see, God, I've got all this time for my boyfriend, my girlfriend. I don't have any time for you. All this time to study. I hate studying, but I'm going to spend 2 hours on this thing I hate. I love you, God, but I'm not going to spend any time on you, you know? And that also caused me to have unfair expectations towards God. I was saying, okay, God, I have no clue who you are anymore, but I'm going to spend this quick 32.2 seconds, and things better need to be restored. Otherwise, you're not real anymore. And I had a conversation over this weekend with someone. I'm not going to say who it is, but for me, that was just a perfect example. And I know God led that to happen just for practical reasons. And so I can just give you guys the example as well. And I know many of us struggle, and I struggled with it as well when I was a younger Christian, is especially with the spiritual things of God and getting to know God better. We expect to put in the minimum, but we want the maximum out of it. And practically, if I fall in love with this girl, which I've married now, in the beginning stages, I would spend hours every day with that girl, right? Because I was just not really loving her, but I was getting to just, I was like, I like her. Like, let's spend hours with her. We know the confessions we've made towards God. God, you're all, I give you my soul. My life is yours, like you're number one, God. But in a sense, we say that, but then we're only willing to settle for 20 minutes a day with him. And then expect the relationship with him to be so much better than that with our girlfriend or spouse. For me, that's an unfair expectation. I know you've heard this, I've heard it before, but we fall in the traps. We all do. If you haven't yet, it's going to happen. I'm not a doomsayer, just trust me. We're in this world, so we're like him. But we have unfair expectations towards God. We're like, God, this whole praying tongue thing doesn't work for me. But how much do we actually do it? And not to make small or anything of conversations I had around this, but just a practical thing God just dropped to my spirit over this weekend. Lord, we all know that praying the Spirit is our gem, right? What would you do as a congregation, as people who love me, I trust, if I said, you know what, guys, I'm the unfittest chap on earth. I'm going to run the Comrades next year, okay? But I'm only going to spend practicing or gymming 3 minutes a week till next year. Would you guys support me? But why not? I'm doing it 3 minutes a week. What would happen if I go run the Comrades? How far do you think I'll get? But in a way, we're like, God, these spiritual things, like praying for the healing, praying in tongues, doing these things, it doesn't work. But we put in the minimum, but expect just things to fall in place. And God has just been showing me through just various things how many unfair expectations we have towards God. But when it comes to the things of this world, oh man, we will give our lives for that thing. We will give our lives to get to know this other girl person. I don't really know well what's her surname, but we will give everything just to get to know her better. We have rotten hearts. We have rotten attitudes towards God. And we dare not confess something with our mouths and our hearts aligns to it. I'm saying this out of a place, as I've confessed to all of you, of getting it wrong. Not only once, but many times. But tonight, God just says He wants to just restore us to Him. Even though we all have made those mistakes, He wants to restore us into relationship with Him. And sometimes we fall into this trap of the enemy, and it causes us to doubt God's character. Because then we're like, okay, God, but I have made a fool of myself. I have done this thing for 2 minutes a week. Where are you, Lord? Where are you, God? I'm not seeing anything. There's nothing wrong with where God is. And I want you guys to hear my heart tonight. It's something really just raw still in me. As I just recently went through this thing. And I was like, God, how did this happen? I'm supposed to just get this thing, this basic thing right. But God wants us to draw near to Him today. This very night, on this beautiful blue chair that you're sitting on, God wants us to talk to Him so we can have a reconciliation with Him, so that our hardened hearts can be softened. But you know what? We need to be very close to God for those hearts to soften up again. Because it's only in His embrace. David, if I want to give you a hug, I'm not going to stand here and try to hug you. That's just retarded. To come up right to you, get over my discomfort, whether you are clean or not, I am, and give you a hug. And I know the word says, you know what, we need to decrease so that God can increase. That is so true. But I believe it's just an introduction that we need to die so that God can live. There should be nothing left of us that God can be so full in us. And it's not that, doesn't mean that you're not worth anything, doesn't mean that your personality doesn't count for anything. I just want to touch on those things. But we need to move from being selfish to selfless. God wants us to be in a place, because He loves us so much, He's a jealous God, so that He can immerse Himself fully into us. And I had a glimpse of an experience of this. I just thought to share this one with you, and if you've heard it before, just hear it again. I was in the Congo once, and I had to go preach to this congregation, and God just gave me a word. I had no, I was like, I was spending the whole day just saying, God, what should I preach? Give me a word, give me scriptures, give me whatever. And God gave me two scriptures, not having to do anything with one another. And nothing apart from that. So I was like, God, okay, Lord, I really trust You, I really love You, but I'm going to go on the stage, but if You're not going to come through, I'm literally going to read the two scriptures. I will pray a really long prayer, and then I'm going to walk off. And just between us, that's been my rule of God. If every time I get onto a platform to preach, I've always been like, God, if You will not speak through me, Lord, I'll just read a word and pray and then go. never tried to make something happen. And that very night, I went onto the stage, and I started speaking French. Okay, I don't know if you know, but in the DRC, they speak French. It's beautiful. The love language. Je t'aime. Je t'aime. Guys, you tell that to those girlfriends. That means I love you. And I started speaking French to this whole congregation. And as I spoke, God was just dropping me while I'm speaking this really confusing moment of my life. But as I'm speaking, God is telling me what I'm saying, but my mouth is just going almost as if I'm praying in tongues. But I'm just speaking, and the congregation is going crazy. I'm going crazy, and I'm just like an overdrive. But in that moment, the Holy Spirit was fully immersed in me, and He just used me for His purpose. An example I want to use is completely biblical. I'm going to prove it. I don't know if you've ever heard of Gideon. You can read about this in Judges, and specifically Judges 6:34. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. And there it speaks about that the Lord put on Gideon like a glove. Okay? So with this whole thing that we need to die so that we can actually be alive, we need to stop being selfish, but we need to be selfless. It's going to be very difficult if you go buy a glove and you want to try to put your hand in it, but it's full of concrete, right? Not working. Defies the purpose of a glove, okay? God wants to use us as gloves. He wants to actually have us empty ourselves out so that He can fully immerse Himself into us. And yes, we have done that. Yes, guys. Like, well done. We are busy doing it. We are getting it right. But does God only have His pinky or His thumb or three fingers into this glove? How flexible are we? How trusting are we for God to just actually reach in, fill all that we are, and just use us as He pleases? Whether we agree with it or not, have peace about it or not. You know, you don't actually have to have peace about God, what He's doing through you. Ever. Okay. Just to be like, God, I really just empty myself out so that You can work in me and through me. We need to be like gloves, church, so the Spirit can come and put us on and make us speak French and make us go there and make us speak to our family, make us get into the right relationships. We're like, God, I am clueless, Lord, so come and work in me and through me. And then we need to empty ourselves out. The starting point for that is just to have softened hearts. Because that's the beginning point for where God changes us. And as soon as we harden our hearts, that's like the concrete. For some of our guys, we are hard-headed. But most of us, we are hard-hearted. Okay? Concrete glove doesn't work. And God needs to come and soften it up so that He can put us on and use us. God called on Gideon to bring Israel out of fear and into victory. He came and called Gideon a mighty man of God. You know what? Gideon didn't even think or know or thought of himself as a mighty man of God. God was like, you are a mighty man of God. All of us, I'm sure this is true, all of us wants to know what God thinks of us, right? God wants to tell us what He thinks of us. That's why we need to go pray just as we did at the end of worship. God, first of all, who are You? Second of all, God, how do You see me? What do You think of me, Lord? We know that relationships, especially between sons and fathers, it sucks if we've never heard our father tell us that he loves us and that he tells us what he thinks of us. We want to hear, like, yes, see, my dad calls me Billy Gee. Now that I'm big, married, he calls me Billa. He's like, Billa, I'm so trots of you. I'm so proud of you. Just of your choices, who you are as a man, da, 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 da. This is what I think of you. You are amazing. And for me, in a sense, you know what? It doesn't compare to what God tells me that I am, because I'm like, yes, I know. God says that as well. But it just does something in my heart. My dad affirms me like that. We all need that. We all must have it. That's the way God created us. And you know what? Even if our earthly fathers or friends don't ever affirm us, but it's God affirms us, that changes stuff. Because then we see ourselves, we start to see ourselves the way that God sees us. And then we start to become comfort for me approaching David to go in for that amazing hug. That starts to change things. I start approaching God with more confidence, trusting Him in reverence and fear, always. Just say, God, I'm starting to trust you, God. Because He's going to start calling you by name. And the Spirit of the Lord put Gideon on like a glove and worked through him. Everything in the heart of the Father becomes worked out through us. And it's not like we become these lifeless vessels. That it's not like these puppets with the strings that, you know, without the strings, the thing is just obviously just lying there. It's not like that. Because God wants us to be part of what He's doing as well. If that wasn't the case, you know, then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them would have had the same ministry, done things the exact same way. Which is obviously not the case. So God wants to work completely in us and through us, together with us, to show the world a part of who God is and what His heart looks like. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given us different personalities or different hair or different smells, you know? Because we are all created in the image of God, and God wants to reveal Himself powerfully and fully through you. Because together, collectively as a world, as a nation, we resemble Christ. It's not myself, it's not Philip, it's not Reinhard Bonnke. If you remove all of them and they stand single, you know, that is just a fraction of who God is. We all need to be able to just be so free for God to work in us and through us. You know, it's not just Gideon who will use like a glove for me in that brief moment speaking French. It's Amasai, Zechariah, you know, the disciples who actually just used like gloves as well through the Holy Spirit. And you know who else? Jesus as well. Jesus' ministry didn't start before the Holy Spirit came upon Him, possessed Him, filled Him. Then things started to happen. We need to be set up and ready with a softened heart and say, God, You're my Father. Do in me whatever You want to do. So in order for that to happen, church, I'm going to start to move to a point for us to get to start responding to God. Just we need to start laying down who we are. We need to lay down our hurts. We need to lay down our hardened hearts before God. With the first step being repentance of our disobedience, because there needs to be a repentance. Because God wants to reconcile us and wants us to read together again from Hebrews 4, from verse 7. And it continues on from where we read earlier. Since therefore, it remains for some to enter it, speaking of the rest. And those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience. Again, He appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today, church, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. You might be sitting here saying, yes, Christo, I've heard it all before. I'm just going to continue on because God will just disappoint again. Do not let that be your response tonight, because today is the day that God is calling you again. Do not harden your hearts, but respond to Him. Lay yourself down. And tonight, if you want to lay your heart and hearts down tonight, I want you to respond just to the call. I'm sure the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you and saying, you know what? In this area, your heart is hardened towards me. In this area, you feel like I've let you down. In this area, you've never trusted me before. God wants our entire hearts. He wants to put all five fingers into the glove. He wants to use us fully. Because He's a jealous God. He loves us so much. I can just imagine if the kids have to arrive. I'm not going to attach any time to this. Because you know what? God can do what He wants to. But when the kids arrive, I'm not going to want my daughter, as soon as she starts to be like, you know what, Dad? I love you. But I'm only going to give you 70% of my heart. So my heart will be broken. And I'm like, oof. This sucks. Like, you came from my loins and you don't even want me back. But God's heart is even more intensified than that. He's like, you know what? You were made in my image. Come from my loins. I created you. So he wants all of our hearts as well, not with anything held back. And as much as goes, as you trust your Father, the more you need to trust God. So tonight, church, we need to lay down our hearts for God to come and soften it in that embrace. And we need to lay down our doubt in God's character, in his faithfulness or promise, that as soon as we repent of those disobediences, God will come and reveal himself again to us. And we need to trust that if God says he's faithful, he's faithful. God says he's true, he's true. God says he loves us, he loves us.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming his glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.